Look at verse 1. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Now I'm entitling the message, In the Beginning. In the beginning. Everything begins with God. Now the Lord in His infinite wisdom has given unto us four accounts of the Lord's ministry among men, each one dealing with a certain particular theme, inspired by the same Spirit of God, but recorded by four different men. It's a painted picture of the same glorious gospel, a painted picture of the same glorious Lord, but viewed from four different aspects. Looking at the same person, but viewing the same person from four different angles. That's why we've been given the gospel written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Not a different gospel, not a different Lord. Same gospel, same Lord, but four different views of the same person. Matthew shows the Lord Jesus Christ as the King of kings and Lord of lords. And indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Lion, the tribe, Lion of the tribe of Judah. And He is the King that's born to put away our sin. You remember the messenger from heaven declared, call His name Jesus, He shall save His people from their sin. Mark, in his gospel account, shows the Lord Jesus Christ and pictures Him as Jehovah's righteous servant who has come to accomplish our salvation, who has come to do the will of God as that righteous servant of God, obedient in all things, even obedient unto death. And then we have the gospel according to Luke. And Luke shows us about the Lord Jesus Christ in His full humanity, in His compassion, in His tenderness, and His love toward His little children. He said, suffer little children to come unto Me, for such is the kingdom of God. In the Gospel of Luke, He is seen as the Son of Man, with compassion, with pity, with mercy upon His covenant people. And then in the Gospel that bears the name John, the Gospel of John. And John shows us this aspect of the Lord Jesus Christ. While others talk about His humanity, others talk about His obedient, being an obedient servant, and others as the Son of Man, John talks about and shows us in plain, clear, simple terms His deity. His deity. Now, what do I mean? What does the word deity mean? Well, you adults know, but for the children, that the Lord Jesus Christ, He is God. He is the Almighty, the Eternal God. Don't ever let anyone ever tell you that the Lord Jesus Christ is not God. He is. He always has been. The theme of John's Gospel, inspired and God-given, the gospel that bears His name then, John clearly tells us about the deity or the Godhood, the Godhead of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's always been God. Always has been, always will be God Almighty. Now, John has a special thought about this. Turn over here to 1 John. 1 John now. And he, in his epistle here, begins it the same way. The Lord used this servant John to declare unto us the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. His Lordship. His Godhead. He is God the Son. In 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning. From the beginning. And that which we have heard. Which we have seen with our eyes. Which we have looked upon. Our hands have handled of the Word of life. For the life was manifested. We've seen it. We bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested unto us. And we've seen Him. We've heard Him. And we declare unto you this glorious message, this glorious gospel. We've been studying in the Revelation. You remember from Revelation chapter 1, where the Lord said, I am Alpha, I am Omega, which means He is the beginning. He's the beginning. And He's the ending. Which is, which was, and which is to come, He is the Almighty God. Now let's take a close look at verse 1. In the beginning, John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Was the Word. In the beginning. Now we studied from Psalm 90, where we read, from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Now, when we think about eternity, and when we think about the beginning, God has no beginning. God has no ending. Eternity, now you think with me, eternity doesn't have, does everlasting have a beginning? Eternity has no beginning. And eternity can have no end. In eternity, time does not exist. It's just the eternal present. I was watching, as I often do, the local news, and the weatherman was talking about all this nice warm weather we've been having. And then he would look ahead a few days about the forecast, and he made this statement. He said, all good things must come to an end. Well, I guess when it's warm weather, at some point it's going to get cold. And in that sense, that's probably a good statement. But when we consider the gospel and who God is, all good things will never have an end. All good things of the gospel are eternal things. And you think with me. Everything about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the gospel of God concerning Christ. Everything about the gospel is eternal. Every aspect of our salvation is eternal. When we talk about election, when did He choose us? In eternity. We're going to see that in just a minute. Everything about the gospel is eternal. Our salvation that He accomplished for us is an eternal salvation. Our redemption in which we enjoy, it says in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 12, that He obtained for us eternal redemption. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as a good shepherd of the sheep, He laid down His life for us that He might give us what kind of life? It's not a temporary thing. He gives us everlasting life. You see, everything connected with the gospel is connected with God, who is eternal and everlasting, and all blessings we have in Christ Jesus, are they temporary? Oh no, my friend. You think about it. The inheritance we have in Christ Jesus, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved for you in heaven. How long was that inheritance going to last? It's an eternal inheritance. Now let's look at this beginning in two aspects. In the beginning was the Word. Now this beginning has a reference, I think, to two things. This beginning has a reference to the beginning of time when God created all things. As we read in Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God said, let there be light. And in the beginning, God separated the night and the day. He called the light day, and the night He called darkness. And He made a separation. So there we see the beginning of time. But when time started, God's purpose was already established, fixed, and settled. When time started. Now there was a beginning, there was a time, now I know this is probably not going to make much sense, but there was a time when there was no time. And then there was a time when God said, let there be day and let there be night, and time started. But when time did start, God's eternal purpose was settled, fixed, unchanging, unalterable. God does not change. Now listen to these scriptures. You remember this from Isaiah 46. God declares the end from the beginning. It was fixed and settled. You remember in Acts chapter 15, James stood up at that council that day in Jerusalem, said, "Known unto God are all His works from the beginning." God has decreed the end from the beginning. So there's a reference to time. But also, secondly, and probably more importantly to me, we also see the eternal beginning of God's purpose of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word. In eternity, in the beginning of eternity, God purposed to save a people in Christ Jesus. There is the eternal purpose of God in Christ. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Our Savior then, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the eternal Savior. He is the eternal Redeemer, come to save His people. Now think with me. Before creation, before time, before the entrance of sin, God's purpose stood, didn't it? Because His purpose, we read in Ephesians chapter 3, of the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus. Before creation, before time, before the entrance of sin, S-I-N, the Lord Jesus Christ from all eternity has always been our justifier. He's always been our Savior. Because the Lord Jesus Christ stood as the surety, the guarantor of the everlasting covenant of grace. Now here's what I'm saying. Before Adam fell, before sin entered in, the Lord Jesus Christ stood as that surety, that guarantee of our salvation. Before there was a sinner, in the eternal purpose of God, in the beginning of that purpose, the Savior stood. Now listen to these scriptures. In the beginning, the Lord chose His people unto salvation. Now remember 2 Thessalonians 2:13, we are bound to give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the what? Beginning chosen you unto salvation. In the beginning, the Lord Jesus Christ was called the Lamb that was slain. When? Before the foundation of the world. That's the beginning of God's eternal purpose. To save a covenant people to the glory of His own name's sake. In the beginning. In the beginning. Now, I want you to look at this scripture with me. Find 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. In the beginning, God purposed to save a covenant people in Christ Jesus that He might receive all the honor and glory. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 18. For as much, He said, as you know, that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was truly foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. So He's always been the Lamb slain in God's eternal purpose to save His covenant people in the beginning. Now look back to the text. In the beginning. In the beginning. Look at verse 1 again. In the beginning was the Word. You see that? Was the Word. Now notice, I point this out. Capital W-O-R-D. Talking about a person. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Now notice it doesn't say that the Lord Jesus Christ had a beginning. It just says in the beginning,
He's already there. Was the Word.
It plainly says that in the beginning the Lord Jesus Christ was already the self-existent Jehovah, eternal God. As God the Son, as God, He has no beginning, does He? He certainly has no end. Listen to this scripture in Malachi chapter 5. Malachi chapter 5. It says, this may be Micah chapter 5. But thou, Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth hath been from old, from everlasting. Everlasting. Now turn to John 17. We see the eternality of the Lord Jesus Christ. Before He took to Himself a real body and was manifest in the flesh. We're going to see that in John chapter 1, verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. But before that blessed incarnation, the Lord Jesus Christ eternally dwelt with God the Father. Look what it says here in His priestly prayer in John 17, verse 4 and verse 5. Let's read verse 3. John 17, verse 3 and following. And this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God. The only true God. Who is the only true God? Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. And then our Lord prayed this way. Verse 4. I glorified Thee on the earth. I finished the work You gave me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. Before time, He dwelt one with the Father eternally. Now, in the same chapter, John 17, notice verse 24. Father, He said, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. In the beginning was our Lord, was the Word. Now, let's look at that. Was the Word. The Word. Capital W-O-R-D. Now, why is He called the Word? Why is He called the Word? Now, the Lord Jesus has many names in Scripture. I brought a series of messages one time, started with the letter A, went all the way through the alphabet, of all the names the Lord uses throughout all Scripture. But one of the names He uses is the Word of God. In Revelation 19, don't turn, we've read this recently so many times. It says in Revelation 19, 13, He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. He is the Word. The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what is a word? Now, I can think thoughts and not say a word, and you'll never know what I'm thinking, will you? You can't read my mind. Now, if I just stood up here and preached this sermon to myself, but never said a word, you would never have a clue as to what I'm thinking or about to say. A word, when I speak a word or when you speak a word, it's a vehicle of communication, isn't it? I'm revealing unto you what is in my heart, what is on my mind when I speak a word to you. You might say to your husband or your wife or to your child, I love you. That's a word you speak because it's on your heart. I love you. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God. He's all the revelation and communication of God the Father unto us. You want to know what God the Father thinks? Listen to the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the revealed, the Lord Jesus Christ speaks unto us the revealed will of God in the purpose of His grace and salvation. He's a communication of God unto us. He is a very revelation of God unto us.
God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God that's seen in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's seen in the face of Christ. A person, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ then is the final spokesman of God. He's the revealed will of God unto His covenant people. Now find Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. You say, well, these things are deep. They are, but they're so. They're so. These things are so. By faith, we believe them. By faith, we receive them. Hebrews chapter 1. Look at verse 1. Hebrews 1:1. God, who in sundry times, different times, different manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, He hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world, who being the brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, upholding all things by the word of His power, when He by Himself purged our sin, He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. You want to know anything about redemption? Look at the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to know anything about salvation? Listen to the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is the final spokesman of God. Now look back at John chapter 1 verse 18. John chapter 1 verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. You see verse 18? God is Spirit. Every revelation of God in the Bible is the Lord Jesus Christ. Even before His incarnation, it's Christ. Who met Adam in the garden? The Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it says in verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. He hath declared Him. Now, a word, as I said, is a means of manifestation, a communication, revelation. Christ, therefore, manifests unto us the invisible God and communicates the love and mercy of God unto us, reveals the attributes of God, the perfections of God, and most importantly, He shows us the way of salvation. He said, I am the way, the life, the truth. No one comes to the Father but by Me. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word. Now look back at John chapter 1, verse 1 again. In the beginning was the Word. And it says the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, no clearer statement in Scripture declaring unto us the eternality and deity of our blessed Redeemer. Turn over here to John chapter 8. We see this again in John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 56. The eternality of the Lord Jesus Christ. John 8, 56. He said, Your father, Abraham, rejoiced to see My day. He saw it and was glad. Well, the Jews said to Him in verse 57 of John 8, Then said the Jews unto Him, Thou art not yet 50 years old. Abraham lived thousands of years ago. How do you say that Abraham saw Your day? Verse 58, And the Lord said to them, Verily, verily, before I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am God. Before Abraham, I am God. No clearer statement than here as we see the eternality of the Lord Jesus Christ. Something else we see, no clearer statement to the distinct person of God the Son. He was with God
and He was God. He was with God. Our Lord, the Lord our God, is one Lord. It says that in Scripture. The Lord our God is one Lord. Yet He is pleased to manifest Himself in three distinct characters. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. With the same nature, holy. With the same purpose, His glory. With the same sovereign power, complete dominion over all things. He is the same. Our God does not change. He's the same. Look at verse 2. The same was in the beginning with our God. We read in Hebrews 13, verse 8, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Also can be said of Him, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob, you are not consumed. What He was in eternity, God Almighty, when He took humanity and married it to His deity, He was in time. Did He stop being God when He was manifest in the flesh? Look at verse 14 of John 1. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. We can say this, and I said it in the Bible study this morning. He remained what He was, eternal, holy God, and yet became what He was not, flesh. But He did not change in His character or His purpose or His glory. What He was in eternity, He is forever in when He is forever. He took humanity to His deity, just not through time, but think of it, forever. Forever. There's the God-man mediator. There's a man in glory sitting on the throne of glory, and it's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. But when He came forth from the tomb, He didn't come forth with a... He said, a spirit doesn't have flesh and bones as you see me have. He came forth with a real body, glorified body, just like we'll have someday in that glorious resurrection. Now look at John chapter 1, verse 3. We see that He is not only eternal God, eternal surety, but we see that He is the eternal Creator. Look what it says in verse 3. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. That's a pretty comprehensive statement. Without Him was not anything made that was made. The Lord, our Redeemer, is the Creator of all things. He is the originator and creator of all things. Man has never created anything. Man has never created anything. Well, say, wait a minute. We created the internet. We created this. No, you didn't. You just took things that were already created and moved them around and put things together. We've never created anything. There's just one Creator. That's God Almighty. He's the originator. He's the creator of all things. And He is the sustainer. He's the sustainer of all things. The sovereign of all things. The upholder of all things. We read in Hebrews 1 just a moment ago. He upholds all things by the word of His power. In the original creation, turn to Colossians chapter 1. Believers don't believe in evolution. They believe in creation. God created all things as it pleased Him. Colossians chapter 1. He's the creator of all things. Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 14. It says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Colossians chapter 1. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn, Lord of every creature. For by Him are all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him, and all things were created for Him. Now look at verse 17. He's before all things.
And by Him all things consist. Now that word there, consist, means held together. He governs all the physics in this universe. He governs and controls all things in this universe. In the original creation, He's the creator of all things. And in the new creation, this creation as we know it is going to be destroyed by fire. And He's going to make a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, who's going to create that? He's the creator of the original creation, and He's the creator of the new creation. And think about this. He's the creator of all things in making us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Now, who did that? Who made us new creatures in Christ? Who created that? We didn't. Turn over here to Ephesians chapter 4. Look what it says right here in Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 24. Ephesians 4, 24. He said, "Put ye on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." The new birth, making us new creatures in Christ Jesus, is a work of God alone. We were born again, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but we're born and begotten of God. Christ is the creator of our salvation, is He not? Christ is the creator of our righteousness, is He not? He's the creator of every spiritual blessing we enjoy. He created it, He purposed it, He sustains it, and He freely gives it unto us. Now look at verse 4. In our text, John chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3, and verse 4. In Him was life. In Him is life. Now whatever salvation is, and I think I know what it is, but whatever it is, it's in Him. Salvation's in a person, is what I'm saying. Salvation's in Christ Jesus. In Him was life. Remember what we read in John 17, verse 3? This is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God. The only true God. Did you notice I left out a word when I read that? I left it out on purpose. The only true God, Jesus Christ. He is eternal life. Salvation in a person in Christ. Now, I've often said salvation is not in a profession. It's not in a persuasion. It's not in a position. It's not in a pool. Salvation is in a person. Isn't that what that says? In Him was life. Life. Life is in a person. Find 1 John 5. 1 John 5. 1 John chapter 5. Let's see if I can make good on that. 1 John 5. Verse 11. "This is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." Now that's pretty clear, isn't it? He that hath the Son hath life, salvation, and all that's involved with having Christ. You found in Him, you have all things that God has purposed in salvation. He that hath not the Son of God does not have life. Now, whatever else you may have, you may have popularity, you may have a lot of money, you may have morality, but if you're not found in Christ Jesus, you do not have salvation. Preacher, how do you get in Christ Jesus? Do you want to know the scriptural answer of how a sinner is found in Christ Jesus? Here's the scripture. There's one of many. 1 Corinthians 1:30. "But of Him, of God, are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption." Our salvation being put in Him is the work of God alone. It's God who saved us and called us. He is life. Look what it says in verse 4 back at our text. "And the life was the light of men." Christ is our light.
He said that in John chapter 8. Turn over there. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. We're going to see this statement many times in the book of John. I think seven times. I am the door. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the bread. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The revelation of life in Christ Jesus. You see, when it comes to salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ is not something. He's everything. When we talk about salvation, He's not something. He's everything. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and in Christ we stand complete. Now look at John 1:16. Of His fullness have all we received grace for grace. Grace because of grace. We have life and light and salvation in Christ Jesus. Now in closing, let's look at verse 5. Give me just a few minutes. Now watch this. Two things we see in verse 5. Light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. Now, two things here. First thing is this. The natural, fleshly, carnal mind is so totally in the dark. The darkness of death, the darkness of sin and depravity, it cannot in itself comprehend the light. Understand or discern that the Lord Jesus Christ is the light. It says in John 3:19 that men love darkness rather than the light. The carnal mind, Romans 8, is enmity against God. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, 1 Corinthians 2:14. Darkness. We're so totally depraved and so sinful that if God doesn't dispel the darkness by the command of His light, we'll never see Christ. Now here's the second thing. In the call of the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ delivers us from the power of darkness. He dispels the darkness by shining the light of Him, of His person in our heart. He commands the light to shine in us. And this light, where it says here in our text, and the darkness comprehended it not. This word here, comprehended, has the sense and the meaning of cannot be stopped. That is, the darkness cannot stop the light. The darkness cannot say to the light, no. And here we see the effectual call of God. When God Almighty turns on the light in your heart through the power of the Word, by the power of God the Holy Spirit, revealing Christ the light unto us, what happens? The darkness is dispelled. So here's what we see. Turn to Colossians chapter 1 again. I'll let you go home. Colossians chapter 1. We'll turn you loose with this. Look at this. Colossians chapter 1. Now here's, when He shines that light in our heart, I tell you what, the darkness of our sin and depravity cannot stop the penetrating light of God the Holy Spirit. Look what it says. And therefore, we when He shines that light and commands the light to shine, Colossians chapter 1 verse 12, we give thanks unto the Father, who hath made us meet, fit, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, in Christ. Now watch it, verse 13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of God's dear Son. He did that. He commanded the light to shine in our heart. And then you know what that causes? It causes thanksgiving and praise unto our heart, that we should show forth the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. In the beginning, God created all things. Now, isn't that an amazing scripture? an amazing truth of God.